All right, you're live in the arms of Glenn.
John.
And I really hope our microphone sounds better.
I hope so.
We have this giant...
You can see it here.
Black ball on our desk now. John is cupping it. So hopefully, if you guys can hear us much better than last week, please let us know on the comments or whatever, if you're listening to the show. Or if you, I guess, if you watch afterwards, that's fine too. And you can hear us much better than you could last year, or last week, I mean, not last year. Well, or last year. I mean, compare it as much as you want, I suppose. But better than last week for sure. Let us know because we're trying to find the right mic combination here. So hopefully this is it.
I hope so.
I hope so too. So before we even get into anything in the show, I had to talk about this amazing thing that happened this morning when I came into the office.
Oh, your new artwork?
Dude, I go into my office and on my desk is sitting...
He almost pooped himself because it's so realistic.
That is such a great picture. And I thought to myself, like, oh, this is cool. Maybe one of the guys found this at like an art thing or something. Because everybody knows that I'm into the whole saber-tooth tiger thing, right?
Yeah, and we're also into going to art things.
And also art things, right? Mm-hmm. So I picked this up, this drawing here that I'm about to show you.
Drawery, right?
And you can't even, Dave, hold that up to the camera. You can't even appreciate the level of quality in this drawing unless you see it in person. Even looking at it on the video is just it's not enough, man.
No.
So I notice on the bottom that it's actually signed with Dave's name.
Yeah.
And he's like, I drew that. And I was like,
no, you didn't.
You traced this, you know? And then he's like, no, I drew that. And then he pulls out this thing on his phone where he proceeds to show us the process through which he went to finalize and literally draw this, like literally from the, what do they call it? Like the skeletal kind of artwork when people do something nice like this. And then all the, you know, the fleshing out and the shading and everything. And I was like speechless. This is
an amazing
piece of artwork. I had no idea that our good friend Dave was even freaking capable of.
I had to hide it.
I was amazed.
It's good.
He had to hide his ability. I would have been like, draw me this. Now draw me this.
Now do this.
Now draw this. Like I would have been doing that the whole time. I had no idea. So thanks to Dave for this amazing piece of artwork. I'm not even sure how we're going to properly display it. I don't know if we're going to put it here to go with our other saber-tooth tigers or...
Yeah.
If it might go front, man.
Just leave it right there.
It might just stay right here. I don't know. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Until we replace it with our the drawings from the giveaway. Our spirit animals.
So the contest. Yeah, the contest, guys, still going on through the... And did we do that at the end of the month?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. I think it was due.
No, it's due next week.
Due next week.
Yeah, and then
okay, the 25th, which is the end of the month, the last Monday. So the last Monday of the month, which is the 25th, has to be in by midnight.
Yep,
and it's got to be in whatever form, PDF, JPEG. We don't care. You can send it to the Patreon. You can send it to the Arms Room Instagram. You can send it to the Arms Room Facebook. We don't care what you do. Email it to us, info@trainingaz.com. The contest is from Riker Nylon Gear to win a fully stocked
AFAC
from Riker Nylon Gear, which
your
is
your color of choice.
You know, well over $100. Mm-hmm. Yeah, your choice of color, I believe.
I think so.
And
think
and Mike over at Riker set the standards for the contest, which is you have to draw in whatever format possible. John and I,
as our spirit animals.
Debating
due process. There could be a lot of saber-toothed tigers and like sloths. I have a feeling that's where this is going. I don't know. So, we'll find out.
So remember, people sometimes have gotten upset with us over these contests because they're like, I spent hours drawing that. And I'm like, hey, sometimes good artwork does win.
Sometimes.
Sometimes crayon wins. All right.
Yeah, it does.
How original, how good is the idea? That's what we're interested in.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Crayon written letters from fake Marines.
Yeah. Yeah. Crayon written letters from fake Marines will sometimes win contests. It was kind of funny. This weekend, I was showing the new property to an associate of mine who's currently with the Special Forces Group. And they want to do some work out there. And so he's like, hey, man, I had the chance to listen to your show. And I go, oh, cool. Which one did you listen to? He's like, the functional fitness one. And I was like, oh, God.
The due process show.
He's like, basically, you guys talked for like 10 minutes about fitness. He's like, which was good. But he goes, the due process conversation was very interesting. got a little off the rails.
That's all right.
But thanks to all of our patrons. Remember, you do have to be a patron to put into the contest. So make sure that if you're not a patron and you want to participate in the contest, you join. It's even $1 a month is as low as you can go. So I think our shows are at least worth $1 a month for crying out loud.
Yeah, buddy.
You guys make sure that you put in for the contest. We sometimes get tons of entries and sometimes only get a few. Like the last contest where we gave away the Ear Pro and the Ear Pro Wrap, that was
we had quite a few.
No, we didn't.
No?
Yeah, we had like a half a dozen. The one before that, which was the shark riding unicorn shooting a belt fed, we had like over 20 for that one. But yeah, for the last one, we had a handful. So, man, if you put in, it's a pretty damn good chance you're going to be seriously considered.
Yeah.
So, and this is a big prize. I also want to mention from the AFAC perspective, this weekend alone, I used my AFAC twice. I'd saved no one's life. But the first one was actually...
So you're saying they died?
Yes, they all died.
But I did use my AFAC.
I tried, and that's what counts in the eyes of Jesus, all right? No, so...
I don't think that's right, but okay.
So... whatever, man. So, the first one was actually just I was playing with my kids at the park, and one of my sons fell and busted up his knee really bad. Pretty good cut.
Yeah.
And it was nice to be a dad who was... prepared and was like, hey, everyone's playing, we're running around, we don't bring a med kit with us except for my AFAC, which is of course around my ankle. So it's like, hey, we sit down, we get it cleaned off, a little bit with some water, pull out my AFAC. I do carry some very, very basic boo-boo supplies in there, a couple big band-aids and some first aid cream. And it was great, man. He's crying, he wants some, I pull out the band-aids I have, he selects his own band-aid, I put the cream on, he takes the band-aid out of the wrap or whatever, he puts it on himself, he's very excited. And then of course you know how it is with kids, if you have it, once the band-aids on, man, they're going to go again. That's the fix all, So, and then the other one was a busted ankle. And so it was just like, and I used my, my 4-inch H&H compression wrap. So, cause it's a freaking ace bandage with a gauze pad attached. So it's like, dude, you never know. It's not always going to be some big life saving injury, that you're going to have to, or life-threatening injury, that you're going to have to handle. Sometimes it's just the more basic, minor stuff. But the comfort and assistance that I was able to add in both of those situations was worth carrying that thing around, And God forbid if it was even a bigger incident, then it's even more, more available. So it's just something to think about, man. If you're not carrying your supplies, carry your freaking supplies. I can't even tell you how many times I pulled that AFAC off and helped people, even strangers even, because it's useful. I haven't saved anyone's life with it yet, but I've sure made people's lives easier or less painful. And I think that's a lot of what we're doing in care anyway, So again, if you're a patron, thank you so much for your patronage. Make sure you get on there, read the blogs, the show reviews, which are now being done by Ryan, who's our new show producer. And if you guys have any questions, you can always email him. info@trainingaz.com is the general email to get to us, or ryan@trainingaz.com if you want to go directly to Ryan and talk about the show specifically, or Patreon or anything like that, right? Complaints. Dave still has his email. So you can still send david@trainingaz.com. You're welcome to send all the complaints, dick pics, weird drunken nudes, anything like that. Please, David likes it. Actually,
it's weird.
I have a file.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He does.
He prints them out. He has like this weird room.
It's labeled, his file, I have folder on his computer, is actually labeled Spank Bank.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure what that means, but I think it's sexual in nature.
Could be.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
We'll see.
It's drawing reference, by
the way. I was saying, now that I've seen the true level of your artistic ability, I'm concerned with what you're doing with these other photos, but whatever. Whatever.
It's Dave.
How many states do constitutional carry now? I think I... 16? 13? Didn't I send 16? You the graphic? Are you the graphic? Who did I send that graphic to that had the list of states? I think it's 13 now.
Hmm. Yeah, because Kentucky just did it, right? And then
16.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. 16 states now offer constitutional carry. That is leaps and bounds above the 3 that offered it just a few years ago.
Yeah. This has all happened really quick.
Very, very quickly. What's the? I think the most recent one might have been.
Was it? It wasn't Kentucky. Kentucky. Was it Kentucky? Was that the most Kentucky? Recent?
Yeah, okay. I believe that was it. So constitutional carry, man, definitely gaining steam, which is awesome. You know, that's definitely awesome. Now, it's still, remember, with every right comes a responsibility. So
right.
The right to carry, we want that to be a permitless thing. But the responsibility means I need to go out and get training. I need to be practicing on a regular basis. I need to be in good physical condition. I need to understand combatives. I need to understand the natures of my opponent. You know, I need to study criminal behavior and study other self-defense situations. There's this whole other responsibility that comes with every right. But the right is definitely something that we want to get out there. So I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
That it's happening, so kudos for that. We got to talk about it, but we could spend a whole show on it. I don't want to. The New Zealand shooting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look, I saw the whole video. It's still up there. It's available. If you don't like to see that shit, don't watch it, because that dude basically, he executes the majority of those people straight up close range headshots with a freaking rifle.
Ugh.
It's incredibly violent. It's incredibly disturbing in the sense that, you know, it took New Zealand police 36 minutes to respond.
Holy shit.
The idea is this, it's we continue, crazy people are going to do crazy things.
Yep.
Most of those people died because literally they all ran into a corner. They literally piled into a corner in a room, and he just stood there and shot into the mass of bodies. And he
left.
He came back. They had all kind of crawled and spread out. They were all in various states of dying or dead. And he just went up to each one of them and had shot each one of them individually to make sure they were all dead. Here's the deal, man.
It's cold.
That shit happens, okay? New Zealand gun laws didn't prevent it from happening. They're very.
But they have vowed to ban all semi-automatic rifles.
Fucking go for it, you dumb fucks! Ban whatever you want, man. Because
it's working great.
It's working phenomenal. I mean, look, if we want murder to be illegal, let's ban it. If we want drugs to be illegal, let's ban them. It's like the argument and idea for banning stuff, inanimate objects, is so insanely stupid. I can't even understand it. Like, I can't understand how people think that banning stuff works. Let's go all the way back to Prohibition. It didn't work then. It wouldn't work now. Banning inanimate objects does nothing to control the behavior and the actions of crazy people. It does nothing to do it. The most violent places in our country and in the world, the most violent places are the ones with the strictest gun control. I'm trying not to rant fully. I'm really trying to hold it in, man.
I know,
but it's like,
I know.
It, the most violent places are the ones with the strictest gun control. The least violent places are the ones without.
Yeah.
You're stupid if you think otherwise, because this is about facts and science and math, right? This is about things that exist. This isn't about emotions. It's not about the way people feel about this. This is how things actually are. This is how they are.
Yep.
I don't give a shit if you like how they are. This is how they are.
Because like in the U.S., it's like three major metropolitan areas. If you remove those three metropolitan areas from the statistics, we're like 189th out of 192 for gun crime.
Something like that. Yeah. And those three places are places with the strictest gun
Chicago?
Control.
Chicago?
They're also the places with the lowest economic value. They're also the places with the most broken homes. They're also the place with the most fatherless children. Look, there's a lot of things that go into this whole thing, right? But the reality of the actual truth is that they can ban all the guns they want in New Zealand, and that won't stop this from happening.
Nope.
Violent crimes are still going to happen. See it all over. You ban the gun, violent crimes are still going to happen.
Yeah, I'll use a stick. I'll use a rock.
Use a knife like they do in the UK. And now what are they doing? Banning knives. It's like, you guys just don't get it, man. You just don't understand. Now, here's the reality.
Well, there's a whole other situation going on in the UK with their super loose immigration shit.
So here's...
That's a whole...
Last week, here's what else happened. 20 Christians were murdered by Muslims in Nigeria using machetes and grenades.
Yeah.
Why is no one talking about that? Well, because we expect that in Nigeria.
Yeah.
Who hears about violence in Nigeria and is like, oh my God, in Nigeria? No one. Everyone's like, well, yeah, it's Nigeria.
Basically anywhere on the continent of Africa.
Yeah, you're like, oh, violence in Africa? Oh.
Tribal people's hands being cut off. And
yeah.
Child soldiers being hopped up on cocaine and gunpowder. Yeah. Like, whatever. It's Africa.
But it happens in New Zealand, which we consider to be a civilized place. And then we're like, oh my God. Hey, let's go back to the part where it took these cops 36 minutes to get on scene. Mm-hmm. Now, how about that? That's kind of an important factor.
Yeah, buddy. That's a long time.
The point is, crazy people can do crazy things. Go out into the world ready to take care of yourself. Whether that's med kits, whether it's guns, whether it's knives, whether it's your physical fitness, whatever it is, the stuff we talk about on our show, the things we teach about in training, go out into the world ready to prepare yourself. Here's what I've hated anytime events like this happen. You get on Instagram, social media of any kind, and every instructor, every please come buy my services guy wants to validate what they do using dead people. It's bullshit, and I don't buy into it at all.
Word.
I'm not here to validate what we do using this example. I'm here telling you, go out into the world ready to take care of yourself. Whatever steps you take to do that is whatever. If you want to come see us or any of the other great training organizations out there, do it. I don't care what you do, but do something to learn how to take care of yourself a little bit better. Because here's the facts. 1, 2, 3 of those people stood up against this guy. He wasn't a highly trained, highly skilled individual. He wasn't. Mm-mm. So a few people rush him. Look, you're getting shot anyway, dude.
Yeah.
What if a couple of those people would have also had firearms? That's why when people go like, why do you carry to church? And I go, because people hate Christians.
It's true.
And I go to a Christian church, so that's why I carry a gun. That's why I carry a gun everywhere I can legally carry a gun, because I don't know what crazy people are going to do. If I knew what they were going to do, I wouldn't go there when they were going to do it. I can't predict those things, so I must then prepare to take care of myself. A couple good comments on this note. Behavior is at its best when rights and responsibilities are given, not when they're taken away. 100%. Mm-hmm. Because the more you take people's rights and responsibilities away, the more they're going to become dependent on systems, which is what big government wants, by the way, is for us to be reliant on systems. So the more they take rights and responsibility away, the more they say, whoa, 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 individual citizen, you don't have the capability to control these semi-automatic guns or whatever. You're just too crazy. So let's take that responsibility away from you. Don't worry, we'll take care of you. And that's when people's behavior starts to get worse because they're used to being taken care of. Ryan brings up a really good point, as Ryan usually does. One thing that we teach, we're teaching corporate active shooter stuff. One of the things that we always bring up is that only one instance that I know of did an active shooter, and I don't mean a domestic violence spilling over into the workplace, but an actual genuine active shooter, showed up to a workplace and tried to get through doors. In every other case, they bypass closed doors. It's too much effort. It takes too much time. They're not here for a contest of skills. They're not here to see how good they are. They're not here to take time. Why would I kick in doors when you watch this video? Literally, he walks down a hallway of closed doors into a big open area and just shoots people in an open space. Why would you not want to do that if you're there to shoot people? I want to shoot people in an open space. Why would I want to try to kick down doors? So it's a good point Ryan brought up. He didn't even press check them. He just walked past all open doors. Did nothing to try to gain entry. Safety and security. I'm just reading some of these comments. Safety and security is your responsibility, 100%, right? Again, that it's your safety and security, your family members, the people that are around you that you care about, that's your responsibility. Crazy people can do crazy things.
Yeah.
You watch the video, there's a lot of interesting stuff that happened. A lot of takeaways. I don't want to go into it because we could do a whole show on the video itself. But keep in mind that, that literally just a couple days later, Muslims were killing Christians. Mm-hmm. And this guy wasn't, if you read his manifesto, he basically trolls the world.
Yeah.
Right? He says it's because he's a Christian. He says it's because he's a white supremacist. He quotes Hitler, but he also quotes a few other serial killers. He quotes Mein Kampf. He quotes crusade battles. He applauses Trump, and at the other side goes against him. He talks about how he, wanted this to affect Second Amendment rights in the United States. I mean, it's insane. Like, the guy literally has a manifesto that reads like a crazy person's writing because he's a crazy person, and he basically trolls every possible topic and every possible group of people that he can. The dude's crazy guy, right? He wasn't
troll
like
king. The troll king.
At first, this is what I thought. I was like, "Oh shit!" Like, this is some veteran, some New Zealand veteran, right? Who's in New Zealand's been involved in the global war on terror, who like was tired of losing buddies to shithead terrorists or whatever, and now he's gonna take it to them on their own turf. Like, that was kind of the first thing that went to my mind, was like, oh, please don't let this be that, right? Because that has always been a fear of mine, is to hear about some veteran losing his shit. Yeah. And not that all veterans are weapons experts, that's not what I'm saying, but that person from that community going out into this world and going like, I'm going to get retribution for, you know, the wars or whatever, you know, one more of his buddies dies from the war, or one more of his buddies kills himself, and he's just like, that's too many. I don't have any more room on my arm for bracelets. I'm done with this.
Yeah.
I can't handle this anymore. And he goes to a mosque and shoots up Muslims. Like, that was my concern. I was like, oh, please don't let it be that, you know, because then that'll just open up a whole new can of worms. But whatever, man. Learn how to take care of yourself and go prepared. Step out of your home every day. Be in your home every day. Be at all times ready to handle whatever it is you need to handle. Be prepared. Be relaxed. Be fun-loving. Enjoy life and live it, but be ready, right? And be knowledgeable and be trained and be confident. Goodness gracious. Mm-hmm. That was a bad thing. All right, Red Wire Gear Moment, go.
Accessibility, since it kind of ties into where we've been the last few minutes. All the stuff you carry, so like your EDC stuff, the stuff you carry in your car, your med kit, your boo-boo kit, your fire extinguisher, all of this stuff that we all carry to be prepared and to help take care of ourselves, can you access it? Is it easily accessible to you, to passengers in your vehicle, to your kids in your home? Can your wife get to it? Like, make sure that all of the things that you have for these emergencies and things like that are accessible, and that people know how to get to them, and you know how to get to them, and you know where they're at all times. So accessibility is key to success.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Right on. Red Wire Gear Moment brought to you by redwiregear.com. One more note that I do want to mention on that whole shooting thing, because it just got brought up in a comment, which was something that I noticed as well. Like, the guy had a pretty major malfunction, which he cleared. You know, he was doing some silly stuff with his guns that didn't totally make sense, but he was relatively accurate. I mean, he did go back and execute everyone with a single headshot, and not that that's necessarily a great tactic, not a bad tactic, but it's that he accurately engaged people. You know, he came in, he did a whole bunch of damage, he left, did some more damage, came back, and finished the damage, right? Like, his tactics weren't obviously too spur of the moment. They were thought through. His gun handling was relatively acceptable. You know, his transition to secondary weapons was interesting. He just dropped his primary and transitioned to another weapon system. You know, the good old New York reload. I mean, he did reload the AR a couple times with a coupled magazine. He would drop that on the ground, which leads me to believe that he wasn't prepared with a coupled magazine. In other words, he hadn't trained with a coupled magazine. So when he went bolt lock, he would drop that coupled magazine and insert another one without thinking, oh, hey, this is a coupled magazine, which is what most people will do. I've done it in competitions where people are like, you should use my coupled magazine. I'm like, that's a totally good idea to try something totally new under stress. And then the first thing I do is, as soon as I hit bolt lock, I ditch that freaking magazine, because I'm always freaking done if I'm not consciously thinking about it. So there were some interesting notes that I saw there. You know, he did a pretty good job of getting into certain spaces. He wasn't really meeting any resistance, so it was hard to tell his tactics, but there was definitely a couple times where he checked corners. And here's the reality. You don't have to even have been in the military to understand any of those basic concepts. I mean, here's the facts, man. Play Call of Duty enough. Like, seriously, just play these very realistic shooting video games enough, and you will start to see tactics. I mean, I have I have young men who come and young women who come through our training programs now who understand some things about guns and tactics that we didn't at their age, because they've been playing these kinds of games. They can name weapon systems. They know nomenclatures. They know what these guns are supposed to be able to do. You know, they understand a reload because they've seen the dude in Call of Duty, you know, get that magazine out, insert a fresh magazine, you know, hit the ping pong paddle and represent. And it's like, dude, how many times do you need to see that before you understand that's how a reload is done? Mm-hmm. You know, so it doesn't take a high level of efficiency, proficiency, or training to be able to see that that's basically how to do things. And here's the other thing that needs to bring in. One thing that we're always talking about against when we're talking to our students or teaching our students about, you know, the opposition, is everyone expects just some dumb thug, you know, that they're going to be up against. He's just some you know, inexperienced tactician who he's just going to be there, gun sideways, pants sagging, whatever, like, give me your money kind of shit. Nobody necessarily thinks they're going to be going up against someone who is a determined killer, who's coming in there with, you know, a lot of firepower. He's coming in there with an absolute predetermined course of action. He's coming in there with full capabilities. He's coming in there with some basic understanding of tactics. I mean, look, man, you can get online and go through a various number of websites, Facebook pages, Instagram, social media stuff, where you can watch even former special operations guys give people tactics lessons. Yep. You know, it's one of the reasons you don't see that shit with us, by the way, and why we are very basic about the stuff that we put out on videos, because we can't control who's seeing it. We can control our students, but we can't control who's seeing it. You'll notice we do it with medicine, but we don't really do it with shooting stuff. And people have asked us a lot to do it. It's like, eh, we'll do it in our alumni group, you know, on Facebook. But we don't really do it anywhere else because we can't control who has access to that stuff. And I certainly don't want to be a part of that kind of that kind of silliness. But it's something to think about. I mean, you could be going up against someone like this and just flip the roles where he's someone who hates whatever group you're in. Name it, right? Whatever ethnic, cultural, religious, social, whatever group that you're in. I mean, take a look at that. Something to think about. Yeah, a couple other really interesting notes on here. My first thought was a three-gun guy had gone mental. Yeah, he was, man. Started with a shotgun, transitioned to a rifle. I mean, it was pretty crazy shit. Anyway, we've already talked enough about that.
A little bit.
All right, on to the next thing, our topic, right? Summer prep and how to get your life ready for hot weather. Right, so we got hot weather coming.
Yeah, buddy. It's going to be like 80 today. It's kind of nice.
It's not nice. It's not nice at all.
No, 80s.
It came too soon, right?
Too what?
Soon. Much.
Dude, it's like a month late.
Much like John came too soon. So it's
never been a problem in my life, by the way. Ever.
So.
Well, maybe once or twice. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
It's possible. Who knows?
I don't know. So I don't want the heat here, dude. It's March, what? I guess it's March 18th. It's getting there.
Yeah.
I like the cold weather. But I was outside all day yesterday, and it was like 80.
Yeah, this 70 to 80 thing, if this would stick around for a couple of months, that'd be great.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's the jam. That's like the perfect weather.
So here's some of our ideas on weather prep. You know, we kind of got to start from zone one and work out, right? So the first thing we have to do is start preparing ourselves.
Yep.
And for me, I think the very first self-preparation thing that people need to do for the summertime is get yourself a bottle of water, like John's Hydro Flask here, and it now goes everywhere with you.
Literally been right? attached to me for... When did we figure these out? Like 3-4 years ago?
Years ago, yeah.
Four or five years ago, whatever. Yeah.
Get a, you know, 16, 32, I don't care what the size is, but get a bottle of water and it now goes with you everywhere you go. When you walk out the door of your house, it goes with you. When you're in your office at your desk or your workplace or whatever, it's next to you. Yep. When you leave and get in your car, it's refilled, it's with you. Always have that thing, right? Always have that water bottle with you. You know, I keep an insane amount of water with me in my truck for any number of emergencies, but also primarily just because as it gets hotter, I'm making sure I'm always having that bottle of water with me everywhere I go. I go into business meetings with my Hydro Flask covered all my gun stickers where I'm like, I'm here. I need some water. I can do that. Like, yeah, we could have got you, you know, a bottle of water. Whatever. I'm like, I brought my own, man. I take care of myself. Yeah. Like, that to me, just a number one way to start preparing yourself for the summertime, for the hot weather, is just, you should be doing it all the time anyway, but especially when it gets hotter, it amazes me how few people do it. My kids do it, man. They all start to get assigned about this time of year. They get assigned a bottle. And it's like, dude, this is your bottle now.
My kids have a bottle. You know? My kids have both had Hydro Flasks for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. And that's year round when we leave the house. If we're getting into the vehicle to go anywhere, hey, dudes, your water bottle's full?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, mine needs to be filled up. Okay, cool. I'll fill it up. Hey, make sure that goes in the truck. This morning, getting ready to go drop the kids off. And my oldest son had hopped in the truck, and I was doing my little walkthrough through the house to make sure I had everything, make sure all the doors were locked. And I'm like, he left his water bottle. So I grabbed both of them. I walked out to the truck, and I opened the door, and I'm like, hey, bro, what'd you forget? And he's like, my water bottle. And I'm like, here. And he's like, thanks, Dad.
You just make it habitual.
Yeah. Like, it's no shit a thing that they know if we leave the house, that water bottle goes with them. So, and I think one of the other things to think about with the water bottles, the big ones like Dave has, the big, like, the 64-ounce, the growler sizes are great. But you're less likely to carry that one around with you all the time. Make sure it's a convenient size. Make sure it's an appropriate and convenient size. Like this one is the biggest one I'll carry around in my truck because I have in my center console, this fits perfectly and I can fit two of them. Mine and my wife's can fit, you know, right there between our seats and these big ass cup holders. So make sure it's an appropriate size that you're going to actually carry it with you.
That's why I take this one when I'm driving so much. So when I come to the office, I have this one because I have one that size when I'm just hiking, whatever.
Right.
But when I'm on the road forever, I have this and then all the backup water. But I know at least I have this water.
Always at hand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And one of our listeners just wrote in thermoflasks at Costco, which are quite honestly the same as a freaking Hydro Flask.
Yeah, they're all the same.
Dude, it's but you got to get up pretty early in the morning to screw up making one of these things. Look, it's a freaking thermos.
You really want to
kick it old school? It's a thermos. They're just calling it cold water. It's a thermos.
All right. Go back in time a little bit to the thermos brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our dads all had them with coffee.
Guess what happens when you take a thermos and you put cold water in it?
It stays cold.
It keeps it cold. Right? This is not a new thing.
No, it doesn't explode.
Coal miners in the 40s have been doing this, right?
Yeah. This is cold stuff in
a thermos. Cold stuff in a thermos, it keeps stuff hot. It's like when people are like, I need to keep this warm. I'm like, put it in your cooler. And they're like, what? I'm like, dude, it's just a temperature regulating box, right? It's just a temperature regulating box.
Cooler.
Put the hot stuff in there. But it's a cooler, like, because mostly you keep stuff cold, but you put the hot stuff in there, it keeps it hot too. It's don't let it hurt you.
Oh, but, my brain.
Yes, they're all essentially the same. But here he just said, Costco, Sam's Club, whatever, 2 for $20.
Yeah.
So we just have so many. Like for my kids, you know, look, here's the facts, man. They get lost. The cap gets busted. Whatever. It's like. You just buy a half a dozen of these things and just keep them around with you all the time. That way people always have access to them.
Yep.
So keeping access to water, I think, is probably one of the biggest things.
Yeah, buddy.
So here's another issue that we see is the physical fitness side of things. Probably my biggest concern, and literally as I'm about to say it, Neiman posted up, which is people do not allow themselves, as the weather changes, to regulate. They are like... A lot of people, especially here in Phoenix where it's hot, they're like, I go from AC to AC. I go from the AC of a building to the AC of my car, from the AC of my car to the AC of, you know, my house, from the AC of my house to the AC of, you know, back into the car, whatever. It's like, that's really, really bad for your body because it doesn't ever allow it to thermoregulate. So turn the cooler in your house to, you know, 78, you know?
Yeah.
I know it's going to feel uncomfortable at first, but... Allow your body to regulate.
What you're trying to figure out though is that temperature difference. So 78 is warm to me inside my home.
Sure.
But in comparison to the summer when it's 115 degrees outside,
78 feels pretty nice.
78's actually kind of cold. It's almost a 30 degree temperature difference there. Yeah. That's huge. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you do that. So you go, you got your house set at 78, right? 110, 115 outside. You go outside. You're outside for a few minutes and waiting for your car to cool off because you either have the auto start or you go out and you start your car and then you go back in your house. So you got to look at those temperature variations.
But you got to allow yourself time to acclimate. Like, you know, one of the most important things I tell people this time of year is it starts getting warmer, spend more time outside.
Oh, yeah.
Go outside and, you know, trim the bushes, cut the grass. Play ball with the kids, go on a hike, like really start getting your body out there and acclimating to this weather so that as it gets hotter, like, you know, I don't stop working out because it's hot in the summertime. So I still run. It's 100 degrees, 105, and I'm out there still, you know, maintaining. And people are like, how do you run when it's so hot? I mean, John
ran the same way I ran when it was cold.
When it was cold, I ran then. When it's hot, I run then. It's like my body will acclimate to this. Now, there's things I have to take in consideration, and maybe I do, you know, bigger intervals. You know, I hydrate a little bit differently. I make sure I'm eating a little bit different foods if I'm going to be doing those kinds of activities.
Well, and you try your best, especially here, to adjust the times of day that you're doing things.
Of course. I don't want to go run when it's 115 and the sun's beating on me. I'd rather go run when it's 105 after the sun is set.
Yeah.
Right? That does make more sense. But do what you have to do. I mean, look, even the Native Americans did that. I mean, like, you know, the Native peoples would figure out ways to acclimate. So do whatever you can to acclimate. Spend more time, especially these days. Don't turn on the AC, man. Crack the windows in your car. Roll them down. Be safe. Don't be stupid, all right? Don't roll around with your windows down in a bad part of town. But crack the windows.
Whatever.
Or do. It's your life. But spend more time opening the window. Spend more time in your house. Again, being safe. Get some security doors, some good security screens and stuff like that. But open the doors more, man.
Leave some windows open.
Leave the windows open when you're home and you can secure the facility. You know, don't do that when you're going to leave. When you leave, you know, lock up the castle. But when you're in the castle, it's okay. You know?
Well, we did that yesterday at our house because we were doing a bunch of spring cleaning this weekend. And, you know, the garage door's open and the hallway door's open and the front door's open and the back door's open. The kids are running all over Hell and Creation. And it only got to about, well, it was probably about 80 yesterday outside, but last night when we closed everything, it was 76 in my house, which was a little warm at first, and I was like,
a little warm for this time of year, but...
But it's not bad. It felt nice, because I had a nice breeze blowing through the house, I had the windows open, the house got aired out.
You know what I found, though? So what I've done a few times is, you go back in and it's kind of hot, is instead of, most people go straight to the AC and like, fuck this, and they turn that AC down, instead just turn the fan on.
Yeah.
Just turn the fan on and just let the fan start circulating air, and instantly, not only will the temperature drop, it'll feel cooler because now you have that air circulation. Yep. Instead of going down and cranking down that AC, which one, jacks up the power bill, and two, just makes it so that now your body's like, oh, now I have to regulate to this temperature.
Yeah.
You know, so I went from 110 degrees, now I got to regulate because, you know, you turned your car AC down to 68, 70 degrees. Now they got to regulate to that. You just about get regulated to that. And then you step back out in the 110 degrees. Now your body's like, and then it tries to regulate to that. And then your body never really figures out how to acclimate. A big part of this too, in my opinion, and we always are going to harp this on the show, is physical fitness.
Yes.
Being physically fit and maintaining whatever your physical fitness level is during the hotter months. That means go out and run, go out and work out. You know, go out
don't
and do
all of
outside.
Your workouts in a gym.
Yeah, go out and hike, man. Go out and hike. Go out and do kettlebell exercises in the city park. I mean, like, go out and do some things out in the hot weather. Here's the nice thing about when it starts getting hotter. You go out right now and hike, there'll be 1,000 people out there. Go out in a month, there'll be 500. Go out in another month, there'll be 100. Go out in another month, there'll be nobody.
I mean, you'll be the only dude hiking Camelback in
August.
Dude,
my favorite times to hike are some of the hottest months because there's no one out there. And when I hike, don't want to be around people if I don't have to be. If I'm, you know, I haven't invited them with my group, I don't really want to be around them if I don't have to be. And it's like, the hotter it gets, the less people you see out there. And be smart about it, right? If your body's acclimated, you're in good condition, you've taken the appropriate supplies, you've got your water, you've got your electrolytes, you've eaten properly, all that kind of stuff, you're going to be prepared to go out there and be just fine in 110. Man, we go out and we train. We don't stop training our classes because it gets hot. We've taught classes 118 degrees, rifle classes, run and gun rifle classes.
So much fun.
In 118.
We didn't entangle, what is it, like 115, 116?
I think it was 115 degrees and we were fighting. We were doing entangled hand and out exposed fist helmets in the sun with protective helmets on and UTM guns fighting people.
Wearing gloves and long sleeves.
It was miserable, right? But man, those students, they pull that off, sweat just dripping, and they're like, I've never learned as much about myself as I just learned. And the lessons that they're getting are more than just the ones that we're teaching.
Yep.
And like a comment was just left on the Facebook, some of the greatest students that we have are the ones that come out and train with us in the rain, in the heat, in the cold, because they're there for real. They're not here for fun. Just for fun. They're not here just because it seemed like a good idea. They're not here to just hang around or come meet us or anything like that. They're there.
They're there for the suck.
Real reasons, man. They're there to embrace the suck. Absolutely. And that is an entirely different type of student that we're going to be dealing with. So, you know, in our summer class, we may only have, you know, 6 or 7 people show up to a rifle class. I'll still teach it. We're there, and I'm like, these are my people. You know what I mean? These are the people who are like, I will go out when it's god awful, and I will see what I'm made of. Because let me tell you, man, when you're doing a fighting pistol class and your hands are covered in sweat and you can't hold on to your pistol, it changes the way you think about stippling. You know? Changes the way when you go, dude, I live in this hot, sweaty environment and I have to hold on to a pistol with hot, sweaty hands. Hey, and stippling or some kind of enhanced grip on my pistol may not be the worst idea. And they're like, well, my favorite Instagram instructor said that's all just for Gucci shit. And it's like, well, then fine. Don't do it. But then when you can't hold on to your pistol because you've never trained with it in the heat and you've never trained with it with hot, sweaty hands, well, there you go.
And it doesn't take long to get hot and sweaty in a fight.
No, and especially if you're talking about some small little pistol, Shield, Glock 43, something like that. Man, hold on to that thing. Dude, it's a freaking nightmare, you know? On that note of personal preparation, how much time, a question from Facebook, how much time ahead of a hike like that would you recommend to begin preparing yourself?
For hydration and stuff? It depends on your general level of hydration.
Yeah.
But you can temporarily hydrate your body pretty well pretty quickly. But
within 48 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Minimum. But just always stay hydrated. It's easy.
Well, and even just physically here, I mean, that could kind of, we kind of go down a rabbit hole with this one, so I'll keep it right on the surface, which is altitude is going to,
yeah.
I need at least 24 to 48 hours to acclimate to a shift greater than 2,000 feet, if possible, you know. Otherwise, I'm going to have negative effects. Just I just go into that understanding that. And then the more I go up from that 2,000 feet, the more negative effect it's going
to
be.
It's like a lot of guys will head up to Flagstaff.
Dude, they go straight to Mount Humphreys at 10,000 feet, and then they get altitude sickness. And they're like, but I'm in really good shape. And you're like, but you live at 1,000 feet.
Yeah.
You know, you just.
But your level of fitness,
pressure
will dictate how much that affects you.
Yeah, so you know, there's altitude acclimation, there's temperature acclimation, there's hydration. If I'm going to do a really big hike, like a long day hike, it's going to be really, really strenuous. Or I'm going to do a multi-day type event. I want a minimum just to prepare my body. I want 24 to 48 hours on site.
Yeah,
you know, wherever it is I'm going to be hiking. You know, when it comes to other things like physically preparing yourself, that's a different idea. He put specifically food, hydration, and rest. So, going into that, again, within 24 to 48 hours before doing a really big hike, something that you know is going to be really challenging to you, I want to be eating foods rich in potassium and sodium. I want to be staying away from really heavy foods, staying away from bread, staying away from too much protein. Hydration, at least 24 to 48 hours of, you know, good hydration, meaning every time I piss, I'm pissing clear. Now, that's not the only indication of good hydration, and there's other things that can affect that. So if you have medications or whatever that affect that, you've got to consider that. But I basically want to be kind of pissing clear, and I want to be pissing at least, you know, 6 times a day. 5 to 6 times a day leading up to that event. So I know I'm very well hydrated. Rest wise, you know, I want to get at least good solid night's sleep, meaning that when I wake up, I'm not still tired.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to go on some really big hike, what would I consider a big hike? I would consider a hike with, greater than 3,000 to 4,000 feet of elevation gain is something I know is going to put a hurting on me, on my muscles primarily.
Yeah.
Especially now that I'm acclimated to, you know, lower elevations. So if it's gonna be more than 3,000 or 4,000 feet, and if I know I'm gonna be in, you know, a temperature that's greater than 80 degrees, or less than 40 degrees, less than 50 degrees, really less than 40 is kind of my thing, but I want to be on site 24 to 48 hours in advance and start preparing myself to be acclimated to that. So that's me. That's kind of general because that's almost a whole other show, but yeah. That's kind of a general idea. You know, be careful about what you eat, get more sleep, and be better hydrated. Also do that for all your life.
Yeah. Life advice.
Basically, always think like I'm preparing for a really arduous hike. How about that?
Yeah.
So to kind of move out from zones, one thing John had mentioned with his red wire gear moment was, how do we start to prepare the people around us? You know, because it's not just us. So your family, whatever that may be, friends, kids, spouses, coworkers, whatever your thing is. Like John had already mentioned, make sure that they have their own water bottles.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And make sure that they know where gear is and that, you know, it doesn't do you any good to, like, stock your truck. Like, I'm going to put my extra water in here and I'm going to put some cold packs and I'm going to blah, 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 blah. And then nobody knows
where it's at, one of those in that box. Or nobody knows how to get to it.
One thing that I want to mention, a product that we had an opportunity to play with a little bit. It's a really cool cold pack. So with the hotter weather coming, and since we're talking about kind of preparing ourselves right now and the people around us, Warrior Ice is the name of this company, literally Warrior Ice. It's a cold pack with no fluid in it. So the traditional problem with cold packs and trying to carry them around is they're big and bulky. Mm-hmm. And if you accidentally pop the water packet inside, then your cold pack is done. And then you need it. You're on a hike and you get a twisted ankle or something. You need a cold pack and you reach in there to get your cold pack and it's busted already. And it's been busted for months or who knows how long. Warrior Ice is a really cool product because, you know, they fold pretty small and flat. So I'm going to start actually carrying these in my day pack even. Because cold packs come in handy a lot for joint injuries and things like that. Hot packs are already easy to carry. But these things, you just add water.
Oh, so it's like an MRE.
Yeah. Just don't eat it. Don't eat it. It even fucking says it. Because it literally says, it's a, I think it's a prior service Marine dude who made this. So.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it makes
don't
sense.
Eat.
Don't the, eat.
The look, John.
Don't put it in your ass. Yeah, stuff like that.
Why can't I?
Why can't I? Don't tell me how to live my life, package.
So what's interesting is, you know what's in here is it's actually not ammonium nitrate like what's in a typical Colpak. You know what it is?
What?
It's urea.
Urea nitrate?
Urine.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, urea. Yeah, urea nitrates.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Urea. It's just interesting that they use a different compound. It's more stable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
From that, from this perspective, explosives
no,
guy.
No, no, no. It's, okay. It also makes a fantastic explosive.
I know it does. So does ammonium nitrate, but we're not talking about that right now. So
that's that also another show. Yes, also, it's never going to happen, by
also
the way.
Also nitrates that we're never going to talk about in public, okay?
Ever.
But the cool thing about these is we're actually going to do a video. So Warrior Ice... we'd had the opportunity to work with them. One of our medics, Adele, actually used one for real the other day on a joint injury on a patient, and he was like, "This thing's the greatest thing ever because it's way easier to use than a normal cold pack, and it stays cold for a long time." Nice. So what we're gonna do, since we got a few extra of them, and we're gonna make this video very soon because we've actually had this box for a little while, but I want to piss in one. I want to put like Coca-Cola in one. I want to put like some body armor, some coffee. I want to try different things that have water content in them and see if it would still activate it. Because the downside to carrying something that has to have water is you got to have water. And you may not have a lot of that, especially if we're dealing with a heat-related injury or something like that where we're looking for a cold pack to cool someone down. We may not have enough water, which is why we need the cold pack in the first place.
We're going to see if P works.
We're going to see if a lot of stuff works. Mm. Yeah. It might be interesting because what we're looking for...
You're not wrong.
We're looking for the water content to see if it activates. Right. Yeah. So look for that video, coming out, because that's going to be kind of interesting for us to do.
NC-17.
NC-17, yeah. We're not going to video urinating into the thing, probably, but we might. There might be a special clip, maybe, for our alumni. For $10 above patrons.
Yeah.
You can watch us urinate. You can watch us urinate.
You can watch us pee.
See? There's a great reason to upgrade your patronage right there. You might get to see that, so. Maybe. I don't know. So awful. All right. So what else? What else in that realm? Sorry, I got to grab my battery charger.
Oh, God, dude. I don't know. As far as the zones go, I think if you're going to go out hiking and stuff and get your kids acclimated too, because we kind of talked about that a little bit, but you also have to drag everybody into everything. We've taken care of ourselves and now we're taking care of the wife, the kids, the friends, the whoever, right? So we have to make sure that they're doing all of the same things that we're doing to stay fit, to stay hydrated, to eat appropriately, to sleep appropriately. And in little kids, you have to be super careful with because they don't understand. Their bodies regulate very well and they recover very well from things, but they don't understand when they should stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I looked up yesterday. I'm doing some stuff in the house. Kids were outside. I looked up yesterday. My youngest dude is wearing nothing but socks and shoes and chonies. Mm. I'm like, dude, how did this even happen? I just saw you go around the corner of the house fully clothed, and now I see you again a minute and a half later, and you're almost naked. Then it's a bright sunny day, and my kids are almost translucently pale. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, well, my pants got wet, Dad. How'd your pants get wet? I don't know. Oh, my God.
They got wet and fell off, huh?
Hey, yeah, they fell off right over top of my shoes.
I've used that.
Pants just fell off.
And one thing I noticed about my five, almost six-year-old is when she was three, she never asked for a drink of water.
Right.
It's always prompting, drink this.
Drink some water. Yeah. But whenever you're drink some water, what do they do?
No.
They drink the water. Oh, yeah. for my kids, they drink the water. Yeah. Drink the water. Okay, and they take some drink of water.
It wasn't until she's almost six now that she says, I'm thirsty. I want to drink. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing to remember is when you have little ones, you have to prompt them to drink water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an important part of this whole, again, preparing zones out is remembering not everyone has the same experiences that you might have regarding this hot weather, training in hot weather, wearing body armor in hot weather. We have some collective experiences that are unique and help us remember that there are certain things we need to do in hot weather.
Yeah.
That the people that we have in our lives may not really understand or know about. And so, again, that preparation in that zone has got to go into knowledge and understanding and making sure that we're prompting them, hey, don't forget, man, drink water. Probably one of the hardest things I've had to do, having to respond to various different types of environmental injuries over the years, both, quote unquote professionally doing, you know, backcountry medicine and also doing it just recreationally when I'm out, is most of the time when people are like, oh my gosh, you know, you come up on a trail, there's someone there, they're sitting there, you know, they got a cloth over their head or whatever, someone's doused them with water, you know, they have like massive freaking vasoconstriction going on, you know what I mean? And they're shaking and everything, and people don't know what to do because they took plenty of time to, you know, update their Instagram photo, but they've done nothing to figure out how their own human body works.
What?
And so they've got this injury that they're trying to deal with, and you're like, hey, look, here's the reality. You shouldn't be out here, you know, and here's why. Tell me what you did to prepare for this hike. You're overweight.
Yeah.
What's your hydration level?
You're wearing flip-flops.
Yeah, you're wearing the wrong gear. You don't have on the appropriate equipment. And this is, let this be a learning experience to you instead of a negative. Like, there was a guy several hikes ago that, and it was last year that I'd come upon, who was him and his girlfriend trying to figure out why he feels so awful. And he hadn't thrown up yet, but he was thinking he needed to. And they're sitting down and we're just going to keep trudging on. And I'm like, what, are you retarded? Like, don't keep trudging on, man. You turn around, go back to your car. Mm-hmm. I'm like, look, here's the facts, dude. Like, take it from someone who has spent a pretty significant amount of time in the outdoors doing these kinds of hikes and events and backpacking trips and all kinds of operational stuff. Like, I spend my whole life in the outdoors, man. You shouldn't be out here.
Yeah.
You're not ready for this hike. You don't know what's coming. I'm coming down from this hike, and I'm telling you, you don't know what's coming. You're coming up to this hike the wrong time of the day. You're going up on this hike. You're not prepared for it. Dude, you're about to have a seriously, seriously bad time. And most of the time doing, you know, wilderness work, the majority of people that we ever had to help were always people who were poorly prepared. It would, like, and I know you go like, well, duh, that makes sense. But it's like, that gets in your head, you know what I mean? Or someone who's like, they come upon them, they're dehydrated, they have a bottle of water with water in it. And you're like, why haven't you drank your water? And they're like, well, because I'm rationing it. Like, dude, put the water in your body. You know what I mean? Like, what's wrong with you? But they read in some book or saw on some show, or their uncle who was a Navy SEAL or whatever told them, whatever the hell, however they picked the stupid information.
Never ration water. That's stupid.
But that's my point. Like, you don't know why people even think the way that they think. But the idea is that they haven't prepared zone one to even start with. And then people are like, oh, I can go hike because I'll just push through it. And it's like, the environment will kill your ass.
That's right? True.
You cannot push through environmental injuries. You can push through an ankle injury. You can push through a bad cut on your arm. You can push through a lot of physical injuries. If you try to push through environmental injuries, you'll die.
The environment will kill you faster than dehydration or starvation.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Yeah, because in cases of even like dehydration, in dehydration, you're going to die without water, but the heat or the cold compounds that problem and is actually what's killing you. That's actually what's going to kill you. It's not the dehydration that's killing you. It's the environment that kills you. And so, yeah, it's like environmental injuries are a very serious thing. And with the hot summer months coming up, we cannot just do what we've been doing for the last few cool months and go like, well, now we're just going to do it in the heat. No, you're not. Mm. You have to change some things about yourself. So moving out into kind of another zone, which we'll say, vehicle preparation, because we're in our vehicles all the time, right? So vehicle preparation. Here's some things you need to check. Get your battery tested. Go to freaking O'Reilly's. They'll test it for you. Napa, wherever it is you go, right? Go get your vehicle or your battery tested. Change your windshield wipers. Just do it. I don't care what they look like. Just change them. They're $20. Just do it, all right?
Yep.
Check your tires. Have them inspected by a tire shop, preferably both for depth and for any weathering or cracking. Have them rotated if it's been balanced, if it's been a little while since you had that done.
A little bit more on the tire thing. If you have an RV, a tow trailer or whatever that you haul your Can-Am or whatever around on, get those tires checked.
Also.
Mm-hmm. Because where I live is the travel corridor basically to Flagstaff for everybody coming out of Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot tell you.
Oh, dude.
How many blown tires I've seen that have caused accidents, that have led to death, and just because people forget about it. They grab their RV.
At the very least, a major inconvenience for your trip.
Ridiculous inconvenience.
Because you didn't check your tires.
Yeah. So I was actually following a guy. There's one spot right after you pass Table Mesa where you kind of drop down and then you start to drop down, and we call it U-Haul Hill. Tire blew out on a fifth wheel.
Mm.
Swerve, 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 boom. Everything's over on the side in the ditch. Okay. Trailer is destroyed. road, there's shit all over the road. Thankfully, nobody was hurt, but there could have been some super serious injuries, and it's because guys park their trailers and they forget to have their tires checked before they go hauling them. Especially when the last time they took it out, it was like 70 degrees. Well, today it's 115. So the road is, you're pushing 200 degrees of temperature on the pavement, right? Your tires are old. You haven't maintained them properly. Shit's going to go south.
Make sure you check the fluids in your vehicle, especially your coolants. If you haven't had a coolant flush, get a coolant flush. If it's been a little while, get a coolant flush. It's worth the $100 to make sure that your vehicle... Here's the thing. I spend sometimes almost too much money on vehicle maintenance, and I'm constantly like, yeah, that sounds good. Let's do that. Hey, let's do that flush. They're like, you're not due for it yet, but you know, I mean, it could be. I'm like, just freaking do it, right?
Yeah.
Because guess how many times I'm broken down the side of the road? Very, very uncommon for me to be broken down the side of the road.
I can think of one very specific incident, and it was like your radiator hose blew out or something.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even, like, I couldn't even think of any time really where I'm broken down on the side of the road. I'm constantly doing maintenance on my vehicle. I have to have my vehicle operational, right? Especially if I'm going to a class or something like that. I can't break down, you know? So it's like I'm constantly getting this stuff done. Look at your fluids, take it to a shop and go, hey, man, do a full inspection on this thing. Tell me what needs to be flushed, what doesn't. You know, make sure all your air filters are nice and fresh and clean. That includes your cabin air filter if you have one in your vehicle. You know, get your cabin air filter checked.
I always kind of laughed off the cabin air filters until last summer. In my newer truck, I noticed that my AC was becoming weaker and weaker and weaker. And I'm like, AC's going bad.
Yeah.
Nope. Drop the dashboard down, pull that thing out, and it was just stuff. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, we live in a dirty area. You know, there's dust on the road. Everything.
Put new cabin air filters in. Works like a champion. Suddenly
the AC's working.
I was like, my God.
Go out and get your vehicle AC recharged now. Everyone wants to get it charged in about a month or two, and it's going to be a
go wait. Get your system checked.
Yeah, go get checked.
And if it needs a charge, get it charged. If it doesn't,
so be it.
Let it go.
And on the recharge, you can do it yourself. Extremely easy. It's like $30 for the can, and just YouTube it. It takes you 5 minutes, and it works. It works great.
Yeah, super easy. And for anyone in the Phoenix area who's looking, look, finding a good mechanic shop is not going to try to screw you over or give you shit you don't need or whatever. It can be kind of tough, so I'm just going to share mine with everyone. Wilhelm Automotive in Anthem is one of our students, runs the place, or is one of the shop foremen. He doesn't, like, manage the whole place, but he's one of the shop foremen. And he's an incredibly honest, incredibly awesome mechanic that has done all of our vehicles for years. And our whole instructor team pretty much goes to him for their automotive needs. But he works out of Wilhelm Automotive in Anthem. And it, for some of you guys, it might be a little bit of a drive. I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's worth it to go to a mechanic that you know you can trust. So, you know, check that out. All right. Think about the, you know, now that you've kind of prepped the engine, the tires, the windshield wipers, all that. Now put in some supplies that might be needed in hot weather, right? An extra gallon of coolant. A couple gallons of water, get yourself some of that rescue tape to, you know, fix any high pressure hoses, you know, get some, make sure you have your basic tools in there, basic, you know, wrench set, rubber mallet, you know, socket set, the things that you're going to need to maybe hold stuff together. You know, make sure that you're ready to go into the summer season so that if you do have a breakdown, you're good to go. Another thing I always like to have, and that I always recommend people have, is some type of shelter. Slumberjack makes a badass one that you can extend from your vehicle, but just a tarp, I don't care. Get a regular $12 tarp or whatever. But get some kind of shelter that if you do get stuck on the side of the road somewhere, look, sitting in your vehicle in the summertime is going to cook you and your loved ones. So you're going to have to get out, and trying to find shade can be very difficult, especially if the sun is relatively overhead. So, and the safe spot, which may be, you know, the opposite side of the vehicle, if you're on the side of the highway or freeway, might also be the sunny side.
Yep.
So get yourself some basic rope, bungee cords, whatever, and a basic tarp. Again, just a cheap freaking $5 tarp from Walmart, whatever.
Well, that Slumberjack, so that you can provide shelter.
It does. It's got poles. It's got
everything.
It's got your guy lines. It's got everything. So, you know, but you can get super cheap and get just a basic shelter. But get some kind of really basic thing, even a tarp, that you can throw into your truck. That way you can... You know, if you're going to be there for a while AAA is coming to get you, or the tow truck's coming to get you, or whatever it may be, getting in an accident, you're waiting for law enforcement to come, whatever that may be, you have a way to get your people out of the vehicle so they're not going to bake in there. Maybe the engine won't start, AC won't run, whatever it is, and you have a way to keep them cool and keep them in the shade, because that can literally be the difference between life and death. You should carry around enough water in your vehicle to handle the typical occupants in your vehicle, right? So for me, like, there's never a time I don't have 4 gallons of water in my vehicle. I'm typically a solo occupant in my vehicle, but oftentimes I'll have up to 3 or 4 people. Mm-hmm. I don't always take my whole family with me everywhere I go in my truck. That usually gets split up into 2 vehicles, but, I typically will have 2 to 3 other people with me, so that's 1 gallon per person. So I generally roll around with about 4 gallons of water in my truck. Sometimes I go with more. If I'm going on a long road trip, I just grab a 5-gallon jug that I keep all prepped up and ready out of the garage and put it in the back of the truck and, ratchet strap it down so it doesn't go anywhere, and got 5 gallons.
Speaking of those, if you carry one of those with you regularly, there's been one in the bed of my truck for like 3 straight years now. Swap the water out every so often, make sure it's topped off, and then check it periodically, especially out here during the summer, because it will evaporate.
And the containers can get damaged, so make sure that, those things are good to go as well. So, that's kind of preparing our vehicle. Yep. Last thing we'll kind of talk about is just generally preparing the house. Get your AC serviced and checked right now. I don't care if you don't think it has a problem. Get someone over there to check all of your systems. It will cost you $100. It's worth $100. Get someone. It may not even cost you that.
Yeah.
Right. Get someone over there. Have them just go through the whole system. Hey, man, I just want to check on the whole AC system. Because, man, I've had an AC unit go out in the middle of the summertime in Phoenix.
I've had it happen a couple of times. Dude,
even though it was fixed within 24 hours, it was miserable.
It could not even be an AC issue.
It was brutal. Absolutely brutal. The house was, damn near 100 degrees. I had to, at one point, what had happened was a fuse had actually gone out that I didn't even know about. It's this tiny little fuse. So it's like 3-amp fuse that runs the control box up in the attic. Mm-hmm. I was training all day. The AC's out. The family's out. They're like, we can't even be in the house. They're gone. They're hanging out, whatever. I get back to the house. It's literally almost 100 degrees inside. The attic is an absolute hellhole. And I got to crawl up there. Luckily, the sun had gone down at least, so it wasn't still baking on me. But, I'm up there just sweating the oldies, trying to figure out where this amp or where this fuse is. Finally figure that out. Get the whole thing all taken care of, which was a whole other freaking story. Get it all handled, and then, come down into a house that's still 98 degrees. So,
98 degrees, huh?
Not the cool band either. Yeah. So it's important that, you get your system checked, make sure everything can be maintained, change out any fuses that need to be changed out. They're usually $2 or less. Just preventative maintenance, proactive instead of reactive stuff. So many people are so reactive in their maintenance where they wait till something breaks to fix it. Get proactive, right? Fix things before they're broken, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, yes, that applies to some things in life.
Sometimes
when you're talking about stuff that your life may depend on, fix it beforehand, right? Make sure that it's as operational as it can be.
Everything has a shelf life.
Yeah, if you've got a pool, make sure you're checking your pool pumps. Make sure your pool filters are ready to go. Make sure you got enough pool chemicals. Make sure all your pool set up. Make sure you have enough filters for your AC system. Make sure your filters are all recently changed. If you're thinking about upgrades to your house, consider things like double pane windows. Consider a security door so that you can leave your door open and shade allow screens. Breeze through.
Shade screens,
which are maybe the greatest thing on the house.
And tell you what we did. Instead of doing shade screens, I went and bought the blackout cellular blinds for all of the windows in my house. Huge difference, man. The blinds, they're like $100 to $115 a piece. Self-installing, you can go to Lowe's or Home Depot. But they'll black out. They'll keep the sun out of those windows. Because I've got a couple of windows that in the summertime, for like 2 hours, the 2 hottest hours of the day, it just bakes the front end of my house. Mm. And the first one I put in there was in that room. Dude, huge difference.
And like, if you're in a house that you're considering being in for, many years, dude, get some trees planted. Get some shade going in the backyard so you can go out and enjoy yourself. That's probably the greatest thing in the backyard at the house is – we have these big shade trees in my house. Like, we have these big shade trees that by the time the sun hits noon in the summer, the shade trees actually are now shading the pool, which is great because our pool never gets too hot to get into in the summertime. But the backyard's completely shaded. So it means the kids can still go outside and play in the shade and enjoy themselves. All their little playhouse and playset and everything is under the shade. So it's like, consider that if you're going to be in a house, if you're in a house, you're going to be in it for a while, get some trees planted, start thinking about 2 or 3 summers from now, not just this summer. One really cool note that just got left on our Facebook is, I take frozen wet wash rags with us in a cooler. So if the grandkids or myself want to refresh after hiking or outside activities, they've thawed, but they're still cold. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. I never even thought about that. You just take some frozen rags, wet frozen rags, toss them in your cooler with you. And then when you get there, and if you need to thaw them out, take them out for 5 minutes, if that,
yeah.
You know, and they're going to thaw almost instantly. But now you've got this cool wet rag that you can use and then reuse,
yeah.
You know, so that's a great idea. That's a really great idea. Yeah, the chill towels, that's another, comment that was made on there. Those things are pretty cool.
Yeah.
I bought one. They're like $10 or $20 or something from, like Dick's Sporting Goods or wherever, or I guess we hate Dick's Sporting Goods. So go to Sportsman's Wear, or do we hate Sportsman's Wear? Can never remember who we politically hate today, but whoever it is that we don't politically hate, go there.
Dick's. We for sure hate Dick's.
Okay. We definitely,
we don't like Dick's.
Well, yeah, that's right. We all hate Dick's.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm not much of a Dick's guy myself.
Yeah.
Not today, at least.
Two things on house prep is weathering your windows and doors.
Yeah.
It's too easy. Just look for sunlight. Close the door and look for sunlight around the door. If you see it, just get some weather stripping at Home Depot or Lowe's.
Yeah.
And one thing I did was I got an infrared thermometer and went up to my air conditioning ducts and checked the temperature on all of them to see if I was getting equal airflow.
So, yeah, because you might need some HVAC service at that point. Yeah. These are all great preventative things that we can do well before we have any problems to make sure, like, is everything working the way it's supposed to be working?
Now, yeah. Even 2 weeks from now, it's going to go nuts.
Dude, yeah.
It's going to be backed up with service requests, all sorts of shit.
As soon as it starts getting hot, that's when everyone's like, oh, crap, now I have to do all this stuff. And then they start, oh, now I get it, you know, oh, the AC went out in the car. Oh, the AC went out the house. Oh, I need this, I need that. And it's just not available. Mm-hmm. Another thing at the house, we've talked about it in the car, we talked about it personally, we can't not mention it in the house, store water.
It's about 110 gallons.
Store water. You should have as much possible water as you can store, store it. All right? You're never going to have too much water.
Nope.
Store as much water as you can, so if your water line goes out, it gets hit. I'm not talking about end of the world apocalypse shit here. I'm just saying when the water goes out.
Water mains break.
Water main gets busted. Any number of things.
All kinds of weird shit happens that causes water outages.
Have some water. Be able to supply your house with its normal usage of water for 2 days.
Yep.
If it goes beyond 2 days, we got bigger problems.
We actually had that last year.
Because
one of the water company, they had a well that got contaminated, so they shut it down. We didn't have enough pressure for water to go through an entire urban area. Zero water. Everybody's freaking out. I'm like, well, we have stacks. I didn't share it with anybody. I'm like, I need this water.
Yeah.
But I saw the entire neighborhood, everyone, didn't matter. You had to go, I think the furthest I had to go was North Mesa until I could actually start finding decent water, because they're like, man, everybody's just buying so much water. Naturally, people were buying water, but then in the area I live immediately, there was no water anywhere.
Yeah, all your bottled water's going to be gone, everything. So again, it's not end of the world apocalypse. That's even worse, but it's like store water at your house. And if you have a pool, and we mentioned this on a show a couple times ago, I think, too, the Berkey Black is the only filter I know of that can remove all your pool chemicals. Now, keep in mind, it removes all chemicals, so you also have to have mineral additives to put back into the water to get the good stuff that you're supposed to be getting out of the water. But the Berkey Black filter will actually remove your pool chemicals. So, like, for me, dude, I got a 12,000-gallon pool, and that's not even a big pool. There's people who have huge pools that are 20,000 or 20,000 or more, right? And that's basically just water just sitting there, man.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, it just has to be filtered because you can't drink it because it's full of freaking chemicals.
What was the filter called?
The Berkey Black. So Berkey is the name of a water filter company. The Black is a type of filter. But you can actually make your own if you're super – yeah, well, so you can get the Berkey Black filters – and then you can make your own filter body. It'll save you a little bit of money because Berkey, they're designed to be like next to the sink. So they're very nice. You know, they're like stainless, very pretty filters because they're designed to be used every day. You know, you just take all your water for the day and put it in there and just drink out of that thing. And so in order to make that happen, they have to make very nice looking bodies. So you can make your own of like a couple 5 gallon buckets. You can look it up online. It's really easy to find.
Sand, charcoal. Couple other, yeah.
Yeah, I'm lazy sometimes, so I just buy the freaking Berkey. It's way easier. But it's a great filter system. So, So if you guys have some ideas, you know, that that we didn't cover, obviously, put them in the comments section of our Facebook Live video. If you think they're really awesome and you want to share them with all of our listeners, you know, email them to us, send them to us on Patreon, and we'll share them on next week's show. If there's something you're like, hey, man, this is how I prepare for the hot weather, you guys totally didn't cover it, I think it's a great idea, then let us know. And we're happy to share it with everyone else because, you know, that's the purpose of a show like this, is to be informative as possible.
Word.
All right. You can bring us out to train with you. If you want more hosting information, email us info@trainingaz.com, and we're happy to tell you how to get us out to your location. It's relatively easily, And if you get our class minimum, and it's not a private class, but an open enrollment class, then you can train for free. In fact, you can train for free if it's a private class and it meets the course minimums as well. Remember to follow us as Facebook, or on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and Redwire Gear. Mm-hmm. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group, so make sure you follow the Heroes Media Group on those same social media platforms and look at their other shows. They have shows on just about every possible topic that you can imagine. Next week, we're going to have our buddy Kevin from Prepared Medical over on the East Coast for what we are going to refer to as a medical rant session, right? There's a lot going on in the clinical and dirt medicine world, and we all kind of work in both of them, Kevin specifically. And so he's going to be doing probably most of the ranting, I think. But he's going to be a call-in guest next week. And it's going to be a good time.
Word.
So until then, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.